Hi, everyone. It's so great to be here with you this morning. We really miss you. We thought we would get to see you when we came back from Argentina, but unfortunately, circumstances did not allow that. So this is our way to enter into your home, and we're happy to be here with you this morning and to share a message with you.
And Gloria and I are going to be sharing a message with you, which we feel is very, very important. It's going to be a little different than we've had in the last few weeks, but we hope that you enjoy it. And I hope that you are blessed by it. So God bless you, and sit back, relax, and enjoy. And I hope this will help you in our troublesome times. Amen.
The message came out of Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 31. It was to do with the two disciples who were going to Emmaus. The stranger. Who is the stranger? Who is he? Who was this man?
Who was the stranger on the road to Emmaus?
Yes, we're going to discover who the man was and his message. The man and his message. And the verses that we're going to be considering is
From Luke 24, 13 to 31.
And what we're going to do, we're going to listen to it in a very short clip, and we hope you enjoy it.
What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and us sat.
Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known of the things which are come to pass there in these days?
What things?
Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women, also of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not.
O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory?
Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.
Our Father, we offer thanks for thy bounties. Amen.
Amen. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
We must return to Jerusalem this very hour.
I look at that, I get goose pimples. Undoubtedly, they had been in Jerusalem for Passover. And while they were there, they had witnessed and heard all the events surrounding the crucifixion of Jesus. As they were walking along and discussing these events, Jesus appeared, poof, out of nowhere, and began to walk with them. Other than the fact that he had just appeared out of nowhere, that wasn't really uncommon, as people often engage in conversation with strangers as they walked between villages. Here in North America, we don't talk to people on the street, especially
today with social distancing.
But even if we didn't have social distancing, we didn't. But there they were, two disciples talking together, and Jesus appears on the scene.
The two disciples didn't recognize Jesus. This text implies that Jesus was the one who had blinded them to his identity. As the passage progresses, it's pretty easy to figure out why Jesus did that. If he had revealed himself at that point, those two disciples would not have heard another word that Jesus said. They would have gotten so wrapped up in the emotional experience of seeing his resurrected body that all they would have wanted to talk about is the details of how Jesus had risen from the grave, and they would have still missed the why of the resurrection. Jesus, as he often had done during his earthly ministry, asked the question. Not because he didn't already know the answer, because Jesus knows the answer to all of our questions, but it's because he wanted to use that question to direct the conversation to what he wanted to say to these two men.
Cleophas apparently thinks that this stranger has probably just been visiting Jerusalem for the Passover. And he couldn't believe that he hasn't heard about this man named Jesus who had been crucified. The stranger asked another question, and Cleophas answered in verse 19 to 24, revealing what it is necessary for the stranger to open their eyes. Why it is necessary to open the stranger's eyes. Notice that his answer reveals about who he thinks Jesus is. He calls Jesus a man, a prophet, who was mighty in deed and word. He tells about how his own Jewish religious leaders had arranged for the crucifixion of Jesus. Most important, he reveals that they had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. But now that he was dead, that no longer seemed possible.
Even though Cleophas was present when the women came back from the tomb, to report that Jesus' body was gone, and had heard the women tell about how the angel said that Jesus was alive, these two men still did not understand that Jesus was alive and why that was significant. In verse 25, Jesus diagnoses their problem. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The Bible uses the word fool a bit differently than the way we use it in our culture today. While there are a number of different characteristics of one who is a fool described in the Bible, the main identifying trait of a fool is that he or she does not understand God.
Wow, that certainly wouldn't be politically correct today, would it?
No, it sure wouldn't.
Calling someone a fool. The Bible uses the word in different forms, as Gloria just said. But in Psalm 14, verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So in that sense, these two disciples certainly are fools. And Jesus also identifies why they are fools. It is because they did not believe all the prophets had said. The key word is all. It wasn't that these men had never read or heard the scriptures. It wasn't that they had never gone to a synagogue to hear the scriptures taught. It's not even that they didn't believe the scriptures. The problem is that their understanding of the scriptures was incomplete. So they had no place in their theology for a Messiah who would suffer and die, even though they were clearly taught in scripture.
Cleopas and his fellow disciples had hoped that this Jesus of Nazareth was going to be the one who would restore the nation of Israel to the prominent position they thought it deserved. With every miracle, their hopes grew that Jesus was the one who was finally going to overthrow the Roman tyranny and establish a kingdom on earth that would bring peace and prosperity to God's oppressed people, people like Cleopas.
But all their hopes, all of their dreams, all of their wishes came crashing down like a deck of cards. Like dominoes, one after the other. The chief priests and the rulers, Cleopas said, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Their king, their leader, was dead. Yes, hopes and dreams were broken. They were crushed. Their hope was gone.
The man looked over at Cleopas and said, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?"
And the risen Jesus, whose identity was hidden from these two men, the risen Jesus began to walk with them through the scriptures to refocus and refresh their hope. Notice, walking with Jesus through the scriptures. And this was to focus, to refocus, and to refresh their memories. How important it is to walk with Jesus. And we have time now to walk with Jesus. And the hope Jesus gave to those disciples is the hope that the living Jesus has given to you and me. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus has walked with you through the scriptures, even helping you to grow in the knowledge and understanding of our Savior God. And you know, the Bible does say that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us hope.
As you walk with Jesus through the scriptures, you will learn of the hope that only Jesus can provide to hopelessly lost sinners. And to us who are believers, that even though a loved one is dying or has already passed away and you were not able to be there to say goodbye, we can have the hope of being reunited again someday.
Yes, hope for the hopeless. We are in a hopeless situation in the world today, not just in beautiful British Columbia, but all over the world. But you and I, we have hope, and we can share that hope through Twitter, through Facebook, through internet. We can share the hope that we have with our friends and relatives, and we can tell them that Jesus is the hope.
It is the hope that the prophet Isaiah described when he pointed to Jesus and said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus came into the world not merely to walk beside us and cheer us on to live better lives. No, Jesus came to walk in our place. He faced the temptations of those teenage years, the challenges of changing relationships. He suffered the loss of friends, overcame the temptations of fame, and endured the bitterness of betrayal. Even now, in the midst of this COVID virus, he knows and understands our anxieties, our insecurities, our fears, as we live an experience never before known to man. But unlike us, his walk never wavered from following the Father's will. He walked to the cross and placed the punishment of our sins upon himself and allowed himself to be crushed under the damning weight of our sins.
Yes, Jesus calls us and says, "Walk with me." Jesus wants to walk with cascaders. Jesus came to take our place. He walked in our place. He's been through what we've been through. So he is saying, dear brothers and sisters and friends of Cascades Church, come, walk with me. And if you come and walk with Jesus, you will have the hope that those two disciples on the road to Emmaus had. Well, it may have appeared that the cross crushed any hope the disciples ever had. It was actually just the opposite. The cross gave them a hope that was better than they could have ever imagined. The cross takes us to the empty tomb of Easter, as we celebrated a couple of weeks ago, to a living Jesus. Jesus raised from the dead to announce the eternal glorious life in heaven awaits you. You have that hope. Punishment from God has been replaced by peace with God. Fear replaced with forgiveness. There is the hope that Jesus gave to his disciples as he walked with them. The hope that Jesus has given to them, he gives to you, so you can have the same hope.
You sometimes hear people talk about their hopes and dreams for the future. But especially now in these days, we see a lot of these hopes and dreams are shattered. What about those people who were going to get married and now their weddings have to be postponed? Those mothers having a new baby and maybe the father can't be with her. No one can be with her after the birth to experience the joy. What are those young people who were to graduate this spring? So many special birthdays and anniversaries that we have to celebrate alone in isolation.
Gloria and I are going to be celebrating our 54th anniversary, Wednesday. 54 years God has given us a wonderful life together. But we'll be by ourselves. But it doesn't matter. We know. We have hope. Hope. Jesus did. Did you notice what Jesus did when the hope of these two disciples got off track? Where did Jesus take them? He took them for a walk through the scriptures to refocus and to refresh. Yes, hope comes through Jesus.
That's all right when you know that Jesus is walking with us. We have a powerful, loving, faithful, and living Savior walking beside us through whatever we go through in this life. Our hope for all of you is that you daily take those walks with Jesus. Walk with Jesus and have the living Jesus refocus and refresh your hope. And we don't have to practice social distancing, not with Jesus. Let's get close to our Savior.
And we have time for that now. We have time to read the scriptures. We have time to study the scriptures. We have time to look at good evangelical Bible-believing messages on the internet. We have time to FaceTime our friends and talk about your relationship with Jesus. We have time to use Zoom on Wednesday nights to pray together, to talk together. Yes, Jesus brings what? Jesus brings hope. Dear friends, we also need those regular walks with Jesus through his word. That's the secret, walking with Jesus through his word. We have that time. Bring your hopes and your dreams, your ambitions, bring them to Jesus. I mean, who better to walk with? Because he's been where we've been and he knows where we've been. Jesus not only knows where you're going, but he knows where you have been and why you are willing and why you are going through right now. Walk with Jesus. Let Jesus show you his perfect life, his innocent life. The empty tomb, all of this is because he has forgiven us and you stand with us, peace with God.
Let Jesus shape your hopes, dreams, and ambitions so that they may honor the one who was willing to give his life to make you his own. Let Jesus comfort, encourage, and strengthen you when your walk through this life may be confusing and hard. Let Jesus regularly show you the hope of heaven that a living Jesus has given to you, so that your decisions may be won and relationships filled with people that encourage along the road that leads to heaven. Taking those walks with Jesus are not only good, but they're necessary for our faith to stay refreshed and refocused.
Well, Gloria, this is what the Lord has put on our hearts. Now, what are the 2 points to close off?
To walk with Jesus and to read the scriptures.
That's the 2 points that is so important. Shall we just close in a word of prayer? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for caring, concerned, compassionate Cascaders. And we pray for each and every one of them with their difficulties, with their problems, some in completely alone, others can't see their loved ones. And we just pray for them, guide them and direct them, and they may be blessed by walking with you, Jesus, and going through the scriptures. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.